Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, you don't understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year, second-class candy is pretty good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. The draft is over. Some feel the letdown. Others, probably great relief. Enough with the draft. You're kind of in one camp or the other, probably. Nobody seems, you know, pretty even-handed about how much draft coverage there is. It's either not enough or way, way, way too much.
I'm relieved to have the new guys, but I feel sad when it's over.
Me too. Yeah. I've got more in me. I'm guessing our guest feels likewise. Matt Verderam with us, SI.com. A lot of focus on Kansas City, which I guess got some pretty good draft grades. We've just been in here arguing about the merits of draft grades. Matt, that's probably something you've dealt with. I like your tone on Twitter. Like, here are my grades, and they're all right, so don't bother me.
Yeah, look, there's nothing more useless that we do in society than draft grades, maybe with the exception of mock drafts. So, like, the draft itself is incredibly important, but both the immediate reaction to it and everything leading up to it is mostly nonsense. But that's the world we live in.
Yes.
Well, it must have been impossible to avoid, even though you're not in Buffalo or certainly not a Bills fan, Matt, but we've talked a few times, the optics of trading with Kansas City and them taking a receiver, the fastest receiver in the draft as well, if you want it, I was shook by it. I'm almost inclined to Kansas City calls hang up, don't answer. The call's coming from inside the house. Don't, like, they've got you. But I, you know, the other part of me, the more calm, reasonable part of me goes, well, they got paid off by the Chiefs, who were probably going to get the guy anyway. But what did you make of that on Thursday night? Because it certainly was dramatic for us.
Honestly, other than the Penix selection, which I was just floored by, I think, like most people, the biggest surprise of the draft to me was Buffalo trading with Kansas City. I just was shocked that Buffalo did that. Look, doesn't mean Xavier Worthy is going to make it to the Hall of Fame or even a Pro Bowl. Maybe Xavier Worthy just ends up not being a good player. He's average, and you know, this becomes a footnote in history. But if you're Brandon Bean, that takes some guts. Like, I know he would sit there and say, hey, look, value. We weren't going to take the kid there. We felt good about moving back. And that's fine. That's totally realistic. The flip side of that is, if these two teams see each other in a playoff game in January and Xavier Worthy zipping up and down the field, nobody's going to want to hear about moving up 30 spots on day two.
Tell me about it.
that's, to me, the thing that, like, you could sit there all day and talk about, hey, value this, value that. If that kid ends up being really good for the Chiefs and you're Buffalo and you're sitting there going, we, okay, maybe we weren't going to select him, fine. But maybe the Niners would have, who took a receiver at 30, 31, mm-hmm. and maybe it would have been worthy if he was still there. Like, that's the part of it. You know, maybe a team would have traded up and taken Worthy ahead of Kansas City. The Bills ensured that the Chiefs got Worthy. And I think that's the part, if you're a Bills fan, you go, I really hope that kid's not good.
There's so many things to say about it. I am, like, not fazed by it, but you're right that it will – the Bills are a part of his story now, and we'll see what happens. The fact that Kansas City would make the call is interesting to me in the first place, you know, because they would be, well, I guess they weren't afraid of being hung up on, right? Like, we're gonna call Buffalo and see if they'll do this. So there's that. And Matt, my thing, like, the Bills did not get a great return on that trade. It was okay. It was sort of a neutral trade.
Yeah, it was an even trade, I would say.
Yeah, like, by the charts. But they make the trade from 32 to 33, and they did great in the value charts by that. And they also gave themselves all day Friday to be open to make more moves. That's what I was waiting for, was, okay, well, here's why this all makes sense. They're connected, and there'll be more happening on Friday. And there really wasn't, which to me, from the Bills standpoint, was disappointing.
You know, I think the trade down from 32 to 33, the Bills have to get immense value there because you're losing the opportunity to use a fifth-year option on the player.
Yep.
You know, once you go out of the first round, there's no more fifth-year option. Then every contract's 4 years, and you're compelled to franchise tag or extend at that point. So, you know, the Bills were able to get that value from the Panthers, and I don't blame them. Leggett goes to Carolina. The Bills got Keon Coleman. Fine. The other part of the draft that surprised me with Bean was that they weren't more aggressive in moving up as they had all those picks on day three. And talking to people around the league, starting from the Senior Bowl and going right up to the draft, not everybody felt the same way, but a lot of people felt like this draft is really, really deep from, like, pick number one to maybe 100 or 125, depending on who you talk to. And then it really fell off. And so I was a little bit surprised that with all that ammunition, that Bean didn't say, hey, you know what, let's package a couple of these picks and move up. Now, I also understand that if you're Brandon Bean, you're looking at the roster saying, we just kind of had an overhaul to some degree this offseason, got rid of a lot of older veteran players who have played here a while. You maybe want to restock the coverage a little bit. But I just thought with all the ammo that they had, that maybe at some point they would have just pushed forward and said, hey, let's package a couple and get up there before this draft kind of does go off that cliff. But they didn't. They largely either moved back or stayed pat, and it took quite a few players.
Yeah, and specifically, Matt, I was thinking, we left the air Friday right before they picked Keon Coleman, and I thought, like you're saying, a couple of those fives get up into the late third again,
right,
and double dip at receiver. Like, give yourself an extra, you know, you certainly hope Keon Coleman hits, but there's no guarantee of that. And sure. So, you know, you've got all these guys that to us were relatively interchangeable, you know, like Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell and Troy Franklin. And I'm sure the teams had them ranked more specifically, but still, I think one of the thing that stands out to me from the weekend, aside from the sheer terror of trading with the Chiefs on Thursday night, for me, was that they didn't grab a second receiver, considering how needy they appear to be at the position.
Yeah, you know, I thought, and to your point, if the draft went on day two and day three, you know, obviously they got Coleman right away. I thought, you know, like you said, I thought maybe they trade in late into day two and get Roman Wilson before Pittsburgh got him. You know, a kid out of Michigan who really did himself some favors in the pre-draft process. And then even as the draft went on, a guy like Brendan Rice out of USC. Now, look, he's a dart throw, Jerry Rice's son. He went in the seventh round. You may never hear from Brendan Rice again, and it may be like, okay, who cares? That's fine. But like Troy Franklin is another guy you'll look at, and you know, you mentioned, like, hey, why not take a shot there? I was surprised. Look, I thought the Bills did well on Cole Bishop. I thought Carter in the third round, fine picks. I'm not going to criticize those selections. But I agree with you. You know, when you look at the receiver room, if Coleman either doesn't work out or just kind of is slow in coming on as the year plays, that is a lot of pressure on Curtis Samuel. It is a lot of pressure on Shakir to go into a bigger role. And I like Shakir. I think he can do it, but a bigger role. That's a lot of relying on Dalton Kincaid to really be like, you're the number one pass catching option. I think you're right. I thought they would bring in another mid-round receiver to go with Coleman.
Now it makes it all the more available to bring up the Chiefs trade too. There's only one guy. The comp is Coleman versus Worthy. You know, like Yep. They're one, our one, if you will. And The Chiefs go into the season adding Hollywood Brown. That was the number one move on my list for the Bills to make in the offseason. I'm not sure they could have, but, you know, Brown, and you have Diggs traded here and Davis leaves. So the team's in very different. The Chiefs have been through it where kind of middling receivers and they won anyway, which, you know, life is good over there.
So how do you end up feeling about Keon Coleman in the end, like as the pick, like, you know, through the process, because there seemed like there was quite a divide of opinion on him. We had guests that loved him, and we had guests that were like, stay away.
Honestly, and I know it doesn't make for great radio, I'm very conflicted on him. On one hand, look, you love the big body, right? And I know last year he wasn't good on contested catches. It was like 33%, but the year prior at Michigan State, he was in the 70%. So I think maybe that's a little bit of a variance thing, but I get, look, the biggest concern I would have about Coleman, I do have about Coleman, is just when you run a 4.6 as a receiver, you better be an elite route runner, because like without any hyperbole, he runs slower in a 40 time than some linebackers. Like, you have to be able to be a technician in your route running. Like, I've seen a lot of people say, well, Jerry Rice ran more than a 4.6. Yeah. First of all, that was 1985. Second of all, he was one of the greatest route runners of all time. Like, Cooper Kupp is a phenomenal route runner. Larry Fitzgerald, who ran, I think, like a 4.62, was a phenomenal route runner. Like, that's – if I'm the Bills and I'm talking to Keon Coleman, the first thing I'm telling this kid is, look, man, first, second, and third, you need to be the best route runner you can possibly be. Because if you had trouble separating from guys on Wake Forest, like, you're going to have problems separating from guys on the Jets. Like, if you're facing Sauce Gardner twice a year, you're going to need to be able to separate. And I think, look, he's going to win his 50-50 balls, and Allen will give him the opportunity to catch those. But my biggest thing is he's got to become a really proficient route runner, or it's just hard at that speed to create separation.
Yeah, and that definitely feels like that will – well, project maybe, like, because that seems like a weak link in his game at this point.
Yeah. I think for him it's going to just be, you know, you've got to bring him along a little bit. And by the way, I think that's the case. Like, a lot of these receivers that were drafted the back end of the first, you know, and we'll include Coleman in that. Like, okay, yeah, Leggett's going to have to play because the Panthers are a tire fire. But if you look at, like Pearsall to the Niners, well, Pearsall's got Ayuk and Deebo in front of him. And in Kansas City, depending on what happens with Rasheed Rice, if he's suspended to start the year, like, you have Rasheed Rice and you have Hollywood Brown, you have Travis Kelce. You know, and even in Buffalo, even with all the upheaval, you know, he doesn't have to come in right away and be unbelievable. You hope Samuel can hold down the fort, Shakir and Kincaid, and it's enough with the run game. Like, those guys, they typically, even if they end up being really good players, the first half of the rookie year, it's really about assimilating and working out the kinks and understanding how to work yourself open, learning zone concepts that in college you didn't have to worry about because there wasn't as much diversity in the defensive coverages. So I do think that for Coleman, it is going to be a process, and the Bills are going to have to be a little patient with him.
With Matt Verderam here for a few more minutes. So in terms of the receivers, the top three, everybody's top three, I think, all go by pick 9. Not surprising. Were you surprised that a big move up wasn't made at all here, even if it weren't for a receiver? I know there's lots of attempts were made with the quarterbacks in mind, and, you know, a small trade eventually with Minnesota and the Jets. But you did not, like, that by Friday after or Thursday afternoon, Matt, I'm thinking, like, the Bills kind of have the reputation for the trade up, reports growing that teams, you know, in that 7, 8, 9 room were hoping to move out. And when it all happened, I was surprised that nobody made that move. Should I have been?
No, you know, I think it's really hard. You know, if you're in Buffalo's area of the draft, I know they need a receiver. It's a really hard thing to trade that far up, to go 19, 20 picks up. I mean, you're talking about, okay, you're going to swap first, then give up a second, then give up next year's first. I mean, that guy better be God at receiver. Because if he's not, and he's just a good receiver, like, that's a bad use of value.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to, you know, I mean, usually if you're going to move up that amount, it's for a quarterback. I mean, typically speaking. Now, I know that, you know, people point to Julio Jones. Okay, and that's fine. And the Browns, of course, were involved in that. And because it's the Browns, Julio Jones went off to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, like, the reality is, I think it's tough. I was surprised that nobody moved up for a quarterback. And to your point, I know Minnesota moved up a spot. But, like, you know, there was a lot of talk in league circles that the Raiders were going to try to get up there and get somebody. They couldn't do it. There was talk about the Pats got a lot of offers for Drake May's slot, but they didn't want to move. I don't necessarily blame them. You have to pick a quarterback or you have no chance. I was surprised Minnesota was as patient as they were, especially when Penix went off the board at 8. I thought that might send a panic through some of these teams. But Minnesota held firm for the most part, got McCarthy. And then look, the Knicks thing, that was the one that I was fascinated with, because I think everybody felt going in, look, there's going to be 5 first-rounders. Penix may be going a little later than he did. Bo Nix, there were a lot of people that thought he was like a mid-second-round pick. And Denver didn't have a second-round pick. So it was like, well, are they going to, quote-unquote, reach? Are they going to wait? Are they going to trade back? They ended up just taking him. That's a big gamble. I get it. They don't have a quarterback in there. They got to do something. That is, you're tying yourself to him for at least a couple of years. So it's a big risk.
In Chicago, one of these teams in that mix, okay, well, is Chicago interested in moving out? Not if they could get Odunze, apparently. Like, that was not everybody thought that was what they should do, but, you know, we found out altogether at pick 9, they were up for that. that player, you know, at that value.
Well, I'm based out here in Chicago, and I can tell you, if they had traded out of that pick with Odunze on the board, there would have been a lot of fervor in your corner of the world and talk radio. I mean, because I think most people in Chicago, and I think rightfully so, look at it like, okay, DJ Moore's here. That's great. Keenan Allen might be here for 1 year. He's 32 years old. Like, they need another running mate to pair with this kid. If you're going to go get Caleb Williams, you got to go all in around him. And I think the Bears did the right thing. I had mocked Odunze to him at 9. I think that was the right move. You could have argued, certainly, they could have taken, you know, an edge rusher like a Dallas Turner. They need somebody to play opposite of Sweat, but they decided to stand pat. Now, look, if they had gotten a Godfather offer, maybe they would have done it. If some team had, like Kansas City or Buffalo or one of those teams from way back in the end of the first round had said, yeah, all right, we'll give you 2 first, I think they probably would have very much considered it. But in the end, look, Odunze goes there. I think if you're the Bears, you got to be looking at the team now feeling like at least you're going to be interesting. You have this quarterback. You've got all these receivers. You know you're going to run the ball in that system. You have Kmet. You've got at least an interesting defense with Eberflus coaching. Like, that is probably the best division in football, especially if McCarthy ends up being halfway decent.
Are you ready to live in a world where Chicago is fun? I'm 52. Yeah. I've never seen it. The only time the Bears have been fun in my lifetime was that music video in 85. That's it.
You know, I got to say, living out here now, I mean, I'm a native New Yorker, but living out here now, yeah, I am kind of ready for it because everybody knows what I do for a living. And yeah, I feel like it's like the different various places I go, you know, the gym or pickleball or whatever. And I feel like people always be like, why do the Bears stink? Like, well, because you don't have a quarterback. That's why you stink. So, you know, we'll see if Caleb Williams answers prayers. It really, if you want to be honest about it, go back to like Sid Luckman. It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't go back to Sid. Bulldog doesn't even go back to Sid Luckman, I want to say.
And I am
his
old.
His defense.
Yeah, no, I don't make it. Hey, Mike mentioned at the very outset here, Matt, that you focused on the Chiefs. We know about Worthy. What about the rest of it for them? Like, how did the rest of their draft go?
Yeah, it was pretty solid. I gave it a B+. I thought, you know, they needed really to address the tackle position. Donovan Smith's still a free agent, and they took Wanya Morris in the 3rd round last year. He played a little bit. He actually played in that Bills regular season game. He was okay. He was up and down, but they needed to address it. They took Suma Taiye out of BYU, who they liked even as like a potential late first round guy. So they ended up feeling like they got some value there. And then, you know, as the picks went on, they took a tight end at Wiley out of TCU, who's going to be, you know, kind of an understudy to Kelce for a few years. We'll see how that develops. They took Jaden Hicks in the 4th round, a safety out of Washington State, who I think of all their latter picks, like after the 2nd round, I think is probably the one to watch the closest. He's a guy, checks a lot of, they love versatility. They love guys who can play all over the field. He can do that. He can line up in the slot. He can play up high. He can play in the box. He can kind of play that Joker role. Like they'll find a way to get him on the field. They took Kamal Haddon in the corner in the sixth round out of Tennessee, who's a longer guy, press man type corner, which is what Spags likes to do. So I thought they had a good draft. I thought, you know, they had to trade up twice, so I dinged them for that. Instead of, you know, giving them in the A minus range, I think a B plus is about, you know, right for what they did. I thought it was solid.
And that is full circle as we end on the grades. That's it. I'm ready for more grade hate on the phones. We'll see. Thank you, Matt. Always appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Matt Verderam, SI. The Bills, as you may know, host the Kansas City Chiefs again this year. Maybe twice. Maybe they'll end up hosting them twice or playing them twice.
Like that mattered.
Would you take that right now? Would you take Bills at Chiefs in the playoffs this year right now? Do you need to know what round?
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Second round.
No. It's too early.
Wait, it's too early in the playoffs or it's too early for me? Too early in the day? Too early in the offseason? Too early in the playoffs? Which? All three?
All. It's all early.
It's
all
too early
all
for
the
this.
Earlies.
It's too early for this question.
Yeah. I would not want to limit myself to have, like, I'm signing up, I'm going there. I know that's a good season, probably. I mean, you're in the playoffs, you're in the second round of the playoffs. I wouldn't want to, no, I don't want to settle for that at this point.
I think I would. I think I would take it.
Coward.
Is it, am I a coward for wanting to say yes to that?
No.
I am. Well, let's examine. Let's right. examine. We've got Good. Plenty of time. 803-0550. Would you take a Bills at Chiefs second round, divisional round playoff game right now? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Your thoughts on the Bills draft are welcome. We will be back after sports. This is WGR.
Anytime we trade with someone, if people think, you know, you should take a player there, offense, defense, in this case, receiver, you're always going to get criticized. And it'll have to play out on the field with the players that we acquired, player they acquired. But it's not like we traded the player to Kansas City. I get that narrative. Like, if we had traded Stephon Diggs to Kansas City, well, why would you trade him there? You don't truly know who someone's going to select when you trade with them. They're not going to call and say, hey, we're trading up and we're going to take this player. And if you don't trade with them and you pick a different player, they can still trade up with someone else. So I've never understood that narrative.
Hang on a minute. Sometimes, you know, that part of the story he told last year was getting up to Kincaid and having a conversation with the Giants or Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah.
Like, who was the player going to be? And they hinted at it. And, you know, you can't say they never do that. And I don't know, when was the Chiefs trade agreed upon? Way earlier, because then the Chiefs, if it wasn't when the Bills were on the clock, then the Chiefs had no opportunity to trade up with someone else, unless it was later. But you would call, you'd go in order, right? Looks like the Bills did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I'm fine with it, okay? But Bean really did put himself in a spot here. If he doesn't make the trade, no one ever knows that it was available to him, right? Like, nobody's coming out with Kansas City called, but we said no because we thought it was, we were scared or something. Like, nobody would ever know.
Right.
Because trades get turned down all the time. Like, you never find out about, usually almost never find out about them. But by doing that, essentially, however Matt Verderam put it, was just right. You know, like, basically putting Worthy on the Chiefs roster. Okay, well, and he gets Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's in a great position to do really well. They've got other good receivers, so he doesn't have to be amazing right away. Coleman kind of does. I don't look at it as pressure on Samuel. I look at it as pressure on Coleman. He's the first pick. He's the equivalent. Diggs is gone.
And on Allen to make it all work.
I mean, it's a lot of pressure on Coleman. And Bean's reputation is probably just fine. You know, like, he's done a great job here. But, and so he can afford personally, like, he can afford to, all right, I'll trade with Kansas City. What's going to happen to me? Like, I'm proven, but it really will be just too easy to compare Worthy and Coleman and question, like we've already been doing, where's the second guy from this draft? With all the trading down, you didn't end up really taking advantage of it too well.
Yep. Oof. And where's my speed? Where's my explosive plays? I mean, anyone can run after the catch. So if their design is that, you know, okay. But I don't know who on this team is exactly going to run away from anyone. I think they've got Samuel maybe is in a different category because he has been a speed player in his career. I just don't. I'm just a little worried about where he's at in his career to assume that he's going to be that still. But nonetheless, like he's sort of in a different class than but everybody else, I feel like he's just sort of ordinary, and that maybe that'll work. But yeah, I mean, look, we're not going to be thinking or talking about it all the time, but certainly when these guys get on the field. And or even in the summer, but once the games start, it'd be crazy if you think Bills fans are not going to be checking up on what Xavier Worthy is doing.
Checking up on or obsessing about
right.
it.
Right. I mean, it's just going to be there. And so if he hits that, and you know, if it ends up like Allen and Mahomes, then great. Okay, I got my guy, you got your guy. Wonderful. You know, I'd like to beat you in the playoffs at some point here if I'm the Bills, but fine. We're all good. Everybody wins. But if it goes one way or the other, especially the other for the Bills, where Worthy hits, Reed figures out a way to get that off for them, and the Bills are sort of trying to build Keon Coleman into a productive NFL player kind of from scratch because his route running is raw and he's just not as he's going to take some work to become, you know, to hit his ceiling. That could be a rough ride.
Here's Ryan with us. Go ahead, Ryan.
Bulldog Mike, I love the show, and Bulldog touched on it briefly. Like, if this whole draft, but Brandon Bean did, trading with KC, and then KC taking Xavier Worthy and Bean taking Coleman. If this backfires on Bean, what is Bean's status with the Bills organization moving forward?
Define backfires.
Well, if Worthy, you know, if Xavier Worthy, you know, is a much better receiver and Coleman fails or he doesn't meet expectations.
Yeah, for me, that answer would be it's one pick, and it's a team game. I think it has to be the answer is a team answer, right? I mean, lots of draft picks, hit and miss. How did your team do? When you win, everything can be accepted. Like, you really, when you win it, it's all good. So I could have I mean, I think the Bills are going to be more of a running team. And if they win that way, who cares how Worthy does? But that's easy to say. I don't know. Like, you're kind of driving at, is he in trouble if this goes really badly between the two guys or anything?
If it ends up like a worst case scenario where, kind of like what I was just saying, like Worthy smashes, he's like a rookie of the year candidate or something. I mean, it could happen. I'm not saying that's probable, but it could happen. And Coleman just takes time. And the teams, you know, they reflect that. Like, the Chiefs are driving for the one seed and the Bills are in the wild card race. Because, you know, their passing game is not what it's been. And so they're just sort of, they're having a year that maybe a lot of people are coming to expect. I don't know what's out there. I mean, we're very early in the process. Does that cost Brandon Bean his job? Absolutely not. But is it like the first thing, kind of like 13 seconds with McDermott? Bean does not at this point have a thing. I don't think he has a thing that fans focus on. You know, we talk a lot about his modest trading up habit. Didn't do that this year, but that's about as critical as it gets with him. You know, I mean, you can parse this pick, that pick, whatever. He doesn't hit them all. Nobody does. If this goes badly for him, the team doesn't perform well, the player doesn't perform well, and the opposite is true, I feel like it's like the first brick in the case. It's like the first page of, well, how did it unravel for Brandon Bean in Buffalo? Like, it's the first thing, I think, that we're going to hang on to. Like, he did this thing that we didn't like. Yeah. Or some of us didn't like, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many angles to this, right? Like, is Bean saying in the McAfee clip that Kansas City is not telling him who they wanted to pick? I would think that that's probably right, because the Bills, like any kind of trade like this, the team trading down has to be content waiting. And so it's made easy sense to me that the Bills were. That's what I wanted them to do,
and not being concerned at all. Like,
which one goes here?
Right, right. If they liked Worthy, Leggett, Coleman, some other guy, whatever, like four or five guys, defensive players too, then they have no reason to even ask.
They don't need to care.
Yeah,
no, that's right. And if Kansas City had picked literally any other receiver in that group, wouldn't everybody here be the same way about it? Like, like Worthy, somebody else likes McConkey, somebody else likes Mitchell. Troy Franklin went on Saturday. If the Chiefs had picked Troy Franklin, we'd be exactly the same.
Some of us would be scared of Troy Franklin, yes.
You know, and then comparing notes, well, you know, this guy had him ranked lower, but this guy, I mean, just, it doesn't really matter who the player is.
Yeah.
He's going to a Patrick Mahomes offense, so he probably should do well, you know? And you want to be able to say the same thing here.
I generally agree with that. I don't need to really nitpick at it, but for me, the reason Worthy stood out as we got closer to last Thursday was he has the one thing the Bills, to me, the big thing, the speed that they're lacking.
Yeah.
And so I'm opening the door for Kansas City to get him. And why don't you want him? Why don't you value that? I recognize there's other things that went against that for them. And, you know, so they stuck their necks out. But, you know, on the surface, like, the fastest guy, I need fast.
That point is there irrespective of the Chiefs. Mitchell is the same thing pretty much. He's the same. He's fast, right? So the Bills could have drafted A.D. Mitchell at 33, and you don't have that problem anymore.
That's right.
Kansas City went for fast, so did you.
Right.
This is the thing I needed. The Bills didn't value it, relatively speaking. So the trade doesn't determine that for you. It's the fact that the Bills took a guy who isn't among the fastest guys, you know. Somebody's ready to tell us how he did in games, how he's fast in games, and just not in workouts. So I know that there's that too. James is next. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Pretty quick, I think it's just going to be tough to compare, you know, the picks, right? Like, it's a Mahomes offense. It's a Reed offense. Like you guys were just saying, whether it was Worthy, Mitchell, even maybe Coleman, you know, could have done well or can do well in that offense. So at the end of the year, if the stats are better for Worthy than they are for Coleman, or it just looks maybe like a better pick, it's kind of apples to oranges. You know, it's two different offenses, two different systems, two different teams. So, you know, it's tough to say, like, hey, Worthy was a better pick. So maybe Coleman would have done, you know, 1,000 yards and 80 catches or whatever it may be on the Chiefs as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's just tough to compare. And like you guys said, anybody could be in that offense. You could, you know, throw myself in that offense and maybe I do well with the Chiefs, right? So, well, I'll hang up and listen, but I agree with, you know, what you guys are saying. It's tough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
To compare, right?
Thanks, James. You know, I mostly think the same way. The problem is everybody will do it. I mean, just, I have fought some of these battles for years, even when it came to, you know, Mahomes and Allen, right? Is Mahomes potentially a washout if he goes to Carolina or something? Is Allen? Are they just as good on each other's team? All these kind of hypotheticals, you never get the answers. Josh Rosen, right? Josh Rosen went to the worst possible situation and he's out of the league. Is that a coincidence? Maybe he would have been terrible anywhere. Maybe he could have. Darnold is a better comp, I think, because Darnold, I think, drew a very unlucky hand with Todd Bowles and, you know, tumultuous
Adam Gase and
maybe he's still breathing though, Darnold. It's never equal, so it's always flawed, but we'll always do it anyway. We love to do it. It's easy.
There's no stopping.
It's interesting enough. It's good enough. You know, like that's because you could kind of, James, you know, like, well, it's really not right. That's true. It's not going to stop anybody.
No, it's not. No,
it's don't stop anybody.
Just get out of the way.
It's one of the most fun things about following sports is comparing teams, players, eras, all of it.
And that said, it gives me another chance to say that I do, as much as I'm representing, and I really do, I feel conflicted about it. I represented this on Friday, and I hope I, you know, depending on when you listened, I either sounded terrified of the Chiefs getting Xavier Worthy, or I love that Brandon Bean had, you know, what's the size of church bells. Just like, I'm not picking that guy. I'm getting out of here. and set this all up for us to invest our emotions in, it's great. I mean, it's like a dare. I dare you to okay, you took them. I'm going to beat you now. Like, it's awesome for sports. It's great.
Being even could have picked somebody there, Coleman, and the way he talks especially could have said, Kansas City even called. No, we wanted Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have traded with them. Like, he could. It really is like it's an extra step he's made by this. It's not just the trade. It's that, yeah, I'll trade with Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he stopped short because the win of it was getting to 33. He scored better with Carolina. And then he just picked a guy anyway. Just eventually you do, but with some of the trades that went down Friday night, there was one more move there that would make it a lot easier to be like, well, look what they got for it. And you can't really do that. It's not that much. With all the trade down love and everything, it really wasn't that much the way it ended up. They did not get the second receiver. It's the end of the third round. And Saturday, they got a fourth round pick next year from Chicago. But really, that's how I feel about it anyway. I just wanted one more thing. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, really interesting stuff here. Thanks for listening to WGR. Welcome back, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Bills fans trying to figure out just how they think the Bills did here this weekend. And a lot of it is about the first move they made, which was trading from 28 to 32, availing Kansas City to Xavier Worthy, who had become Bulldog's top guy, if not maybe yours. I really didn't have a top guy. I wanted them to do what they did. Pick one of the group, but get a little bit more draft capital in the process. Was it enough to make a substantive difference? I mean, that's debatable. When this Carter wins the Defensive Rookie of the Year, I think we'll all sort of realize how smart trading up was.
Yes, yes.
Let's go to Zoe here. Hi, Zoe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm doing well.
Good.
I like the pick. I like the pick a lot, being, you know, exactly what he's doing. It even go back from that Stephon Diggs drop, you know, the fact that his height played a part, even though he dropped it. The type of player that Coleman is, he could have easily jumped up and turned around it and caught it. These basketball wide receivers, you know, if they lack on the speed, they feet work. Because I guarded him before, not him, but a basketball receiver. They feet work can get separation. We've seen it a lot of time from Stevie Johnson. He wasn't the fastest, but he was a basketball type of player. They know how to get that separation. And as we see from Kelsey, they know how to box you out. And we've seen it from time to time from the film. As you watch Coleman, he can box you out. And you see all these players that are on his back. Why is he always on his back if he's so slow? He know how to use his body.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, I hope that bears fruit for him and for the Bills. Because he didn't get separation in college. Like, that it's the data tells you that. So there's concern there. I mean, I think I always worry if a guy's calling card. I like the basketball stuff because,
right,
like, Stevie Johnson made a living, and exactly right, not a fast guy, but off the line, I mean, he could tie you up in knots. I'm going to need to see Keon Coleman do some of that before I'm ready to believe that basketball background, at least initially, like, he might turn out to be an excellent player, but I just feel like it's going to take some time to sort of get all the lumber in place before I can build the house with him.
Of course. Yeah. It's going to take some time. And, you know, bringing a coach in and that's going to elevate him, just like they're doing with Kyer Elam, is going to help him out. And then with that boxing out frame that it is, in the way that these referees is, what do you think is going to happen? It's pass interference all day on him. That's pass interference.
Yeah. Well, I like the way you're talking. Thanks, Zoe. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with you, 803-0550. What do you think? Would you have made the Chiefs trade if you had been Brandon Bean? Would you have done it? He really did. Whether he would put it like this or not, he really did turn the heat up on himself with that trade. And, you know, trading down is, quote, smart, fine, you know, good wide receiver depth, all of it makes sense. But he's also, people are going to say giving Kansas City their choice of these receivers. And I think most fans don't think like I do that most of this is interchangeable, you know, within reason, to degrees. These receivers here in this group, how many went between 28 and 40? Like six, maybe? So I think, you know, just take one of them. Maybe you get another pick or two. Okay. But I don't think most fans would do that. And I don't know if most GMs would do that.
Right.
They want the one they want. He wants to put his head on the pillow. What did he do? Did he sleep Thursday night?
I'm going to guess no. Although I guess he knew he was going to get his guy, if indeed Coleman was his guy.
If I were Bean, I would have fallen asleep thinking about the Chiefs. That's what I would have fallen. That's what I would have been. The last thought in my head would have been, oh my God, what's it going to sound like if Xavier Worthy is good? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after sports. We'd love to hear from you next on WGR.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.